I could listen to that kind of music all day long. It's titled Kuba Mali, and it is a wonderful collaboration between musicians from Cuba and Mali. This is from their award-winning 2010 album, Afro-Cubism. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and oh my goodness, the world is burning down. In California, wildfires are eating up vineyards, claiming lives, and it's a mess. It's a terrible mess. And we know that they're doing their best to combat the situation, but it's awful. And you can't help but wonder what is going on. I mean, sometimes you hear of tragedies and just calamity occurring in people's lives, and then you hear of a whole bunch of things, calamitous things occurring all at the same time, and you can't help but wonder, is this some kind of a signal that we just don't have our act together, or our ways of doing things have just caught up with us, and nature corrects us. Nature basically brings our attention to what really, really matters in very cruel ways. The scenario in the United States right now is just that everything seems to be upside down. Lots of fighting and quarreling in Congress with this president. There is no sense of even an attempt at unanimity where people try to sit down and reason and come up with workable solutions. It's all a fight. And this was what I was referring to some time ago when I talked about the fact that the most important thing, I think, is to remain centered. These folks are behaving in ways that don't faze them too much. They're accustomed to this way of living, always a fight. But this particular president is, this is part, I believe, of his mental framework. If he isn't fighting, if he isn't causing distress, if he isn't doing something to just rip things up for the sake of ripping things up, and drawing attention specifically to himself, if he isn't breathing in all of the oxygen in the room, then he's not happy. And we've had a couple of people like him, but not nearly as crazy as this thing is panning out now. You've had the self-absorbed Clintons, the self-absorbed Barack Obama, and now you have a super self-absorbed Donald Trump. And you can't really separate what is going on outside of the what people would think is the strictly political arena into another realm. I mean, you have to get spiritual about it almost. That we are contending with so many calamities, including Donald Trump. And Washington is quite calm. And the people are in absolute distress. And I don't think people really expect it to reach a time, it's almost apocalyptic, where daily life is so stressful, and for no good reason. You know what I mean? It's not like there is a substantive reason why things are happening. It doesn't look like there is any good reason, any plausible reason why these things are happening. But they are happening. And now we have clusters of them happening. The film that we see of what's going on in California with these fires is absolutely apocalyptic. It seems to be telling us this is just a taste of what's coming. We saw the images of what's going on in Puerto Rico, throughout the Caribbean. The hurricanes just, I mean, they just swarmed right through, destroying things, testing people's mettle. And somewhere, politics meets this. And we don't have an answer for it. We have that mass shooting out in Las Vegas. We have no answers for it. And it doesn't seem logical. It seems like something out of some kind of a science fiction book or something. But they're happening, and now they seem to be happening with alarming regularity. And still, the folks in Washington are just not getting it. I think these are signals and signs that we pay attention to, and lest I sound like some kind of a prophet, I want to say that there are times when you have to pay attention to messages. These are messages. And they are messages that are not unique to the United States. Just about every country is in some kind of turmoil. All over the world, people are in extraordinary turmoil. There's a lot of dying and fighting and killing. And yet, if you listen to the governments of these countries where there's all this calamity, they'll tell you, oh, we have everything under control. It's sad, but we have everything under control. That's funny, because when I talk with regular people observing the political scene, they don't seem to believe that everything is under control. They seem to believe the exact opposite, that everything is out of control. It's things that used to be okay to do, and you did them automatically because you had everything under control, now involves several other steps before you do them. And there's no guarantee that, like several years ago, you do your thing because you are the person in control. But now something else is under control. Something else is in control, I should say. And we look just the same because we have become so helpless. We look to these systems that are themselves out of control to restore control. So there's a lot of craziness going on. The illogical looks logical. The implausible looks very plausible. And on a day-to-day basis, our lives are in the hands of people who are very sick, making the wrong decisions, but because they are in positions of power, we are encouraged to believe that they can't be all that bad. it can't be all that bad. They went to Harvard. And in the case of Trump, they went to military school. They've got credentials. They're very, very wealthy, so they must know what they're doing. They're very successful. And you maintain that point of view, let's say about Donald Trump, until you get to the fine print. And then you get scared. Because they are so badly off. They really can't help us. But a process helps them to get in that position where primarily they're there to take care of their business, not ours. And we have no counterfoil for any of this. We are just a flotsam and jetsam. We are the people to whom things happen. And we are told later, well, you know, this is life. This man who occupies the highest office, he bought hotels, lots of hotels. Many of them were repossessed by banks. He went bankrupt. He bought a yacht for $29 million. That was repossessed. And there are many more examples of this kind of madness that encourages people like that to believe themselves to be beyond reach. But you look. He didn't pay his contractors. He didn't pay the people who helped build those monstrous buildings. He bought a plane. He bought a helicopter. Repossessed. Trump University. Hello. Nothing he has done on a huge scale has really succeeded when you look at it. He's Mr. Bankruptcy. His restaurant failed. His steak company failed. He owes money all over the world, and they're coming to collect. He's got so many deficits. And then you begin to realize, we soon to finish his first year. This guy is the wrong one. And still people are saying, no, it's not that way at all. These are the fallouts from just doing business. You encounter these kinds of difficulties, but look, he's got big buildings in he's still worse off in some cases than people who are just struggling every single day. But they don't have the power. They don't have the benefits. They don't get the benefits of even maintaining the illusion of power. Everybody who's really wealthy in the United States knows who the really wealthy people are. He's not one of them. The very wealthy people of America do not mix and mingle with Donald Trump. If he should show up at any event where the really wealthy people are gathered, you'll see a whole bunch of people just leaving. First of all, he doesn't have that kind of money. He is far wealthier than I am. But I'm talking about the world of wealth, real stultifying wealth, wealth that would stop you in your tracks. He's not there. He doesn't belong there. But we have very little in the way of clout, political clout, to keep any of these crazy people who are running things in check. I looked at some of the film coverage of what was going on in Puerto Rico with the storms. It was hit twice, and it took a serious beating. And when all is said and done, I mean, it was disastrous. There was loss of life. We had about 34 people dying, and probably more as they get to them, to these areas where they suspect people went unattended to. And my heart just sank. This is the great country of the United States of America. And people literally are dying because they can't get some water, fresh water to drink, safe water to drink. And we're getting all these excuses as to how and why it can't happen as fast as we want it to. And along with the public relations effort that the government is doing very, very well, doing everything it possibly can, along with that, we're getting also the message that you need not worry too much about what is going to happen there. Because in any event, these people are really not important. You don't need to get upset and worried and whatnot. And, you know, crying, the mayor's crying, and other people seeing what is going on. They've never seen this kind of inhumanity before. They never expected to be in a position where their lives are totally dependent on the largesse of governmental agencies in a situation we all agree they did not cause. And, you know, here is the president again, throwing paper towels. He's supposed to be there to comfort people and to get a sense of what's going on. He does not go into the interior because that would probably soil his shoes. But he's telling us at the same time, look how much I'm doing, but these people really haven't done a good job of seeing to their own selves, you know? You have a rotten grid. You have a rotten infrastructure. And that's your fault. So the hand that giveth also has a whip attached to it. And it is for the purpose, not just of lecturing these people who are in a really bad situation, but it is to send the appropriate message that he knows he must send to the racist, inhumane people who comprise his so-called base. See, I'm a good president because I could punish these people. They're looking to us, he said, to do everything for them. And we know that's not true. The wealthy in this country look to get everything done for them. How many billions of dollars has Donald Trump been forgiven? And people like him. For all these enterprises, because he's the great businessman, most of his business enterprises have sunk, including some run criminally. And he's still there. He's president. So you see, in his term of office, because there's something wrong with the president, I've said that since day one, the calamities that are occurring now and that will occur if he lasts the rest of his tenure will be, in a way, a kind of psychic reward, put that word reward in quotation marks, for how he thinks and how he does business and who he is and who he is there to serve. Their thinking is, as long as they're doing well, America is doing well. It's the classic definition of narcissism. And if you're not doing well, it's because you have no ambition. You have no creativity. So look, I have a seminar coming up on how to gain ambition and be successful like me, except I wouldn't tell you the rotten stories of how in many points in their lives, they were having serious trouble, serious money trouble, because he did not know how to manage his businesses. He didn't have the skills or the knowledge. But he went with the idea, I'm Donald Trump, there's nothing I can't do. Well, there's a long list of things that he couldn't do. And these ventures, all these different ventures, he imagined himself to be the world's most capable, multi-talented businessman. You read up, I don't have the time to read it to you. I have a page in front of me, but I'm not going to waste time reading Donald Trump's failures, spectacular failures. So we come in a very strange way. It's a kind of cosmic discussion about politics. We're reaping, I think, in some ways, what we've sown. Or to just take the blame off of us, we have no responsibility directly. We're reaping what has been sown. The society in turmoil, that was sown. The incredible inhumanity, that was sown. The idea that look out for yourself and yourself only, that is one of the values. They actually use these things, these words. These are the American values. The idea that you must dominate the world. You must dominate and control everybody and everything. That was sown deep in the psyche of even ordinary Americans. So we have a society that is experiencing the natural byproducts of its so-called values. They're still trying to figure out, well, obviously, this man, Mr. Paddock, who went to Las Vegas and killed all these people, shot all these people, and even allegedly killed himself, that was a natural kind of outcome. If you see it in the long view of where he was headed. And he would have gotten there in any way he could, because that was where he was headed. That was his destiny, to do something as outrageous as that, leaving people still saying, how could it happen? When, in fact, the miracle is that it doesn't happen nearly as often as it should. These crazy things, we have come to accept them. You know, yes, we will give a little nod to the idea that something went dramatically wrong. But when we look at the key players in any of these dramas, we see it comes back somehow to the notion of I am fulfilling my destiny. I'm doing what I have to do. Now, a person of that wealth, he was a multimillionaire or whatever he was. He clearly had enough money to go into treatment. He clearly had enough money to avail himself of therapy, deep therapy. But it couldn't happen, because he is a byproduct of American thinking. It's about me. And yet we see the result. His one thing that he did, because he felt he could do it, and he felt he should do it, and nobody dared to question him about it. All these people are dead, including himself. That's a very strange kind of reasoning. And I think a lot of what is happening to us collectively is the warning that we are embracing the wrong things. We choose to see only the wrong things. And right now, it is very possible. I mean, when you think about it, I'm not exaggerating, but think about it. It is very possible that Donald John Trump would get really irritated about something or someone. And just to put himself back into what he considers proper alignment, he'll start a war. I know, it sounds bizarre, doesn't it? But that's the kind of warped, illogical thinking that people of his ilk, they think like that. I am angry, frustrated, and I have the means to take my frustrations out in a way that would involve everybody, make everybody pay attention. That's who's in the White House. That's who we got. And we have Congress saying, well, you know, well, that's just Donald, you know. He does these kinds of things. We have a war now among the ex-wives. I mean, they have no problem behaving this way. These are things that logical minds would say, oh, my God, this is just ridiculous. But then we have somebody saying, I'm the first Mrs. Trump, to the third Mrs. Trump and the second Mrs. Trump. Mrs. Trump number one and Mrs. Trump number three are saying, let's kick out Mrs. Trump number two. And they're behaving this way in a rather tacky way. But this is how they live. You and I would find these things really very embarrassing. But this is how they live. They're no different from people back in the at the turn of the century, you know, living in squalor, and every night is a fight. They drink first, and then they fight, and then somebody gets stabbed, and somebody gets killed, and then they move on to the next day. So I look at all of these things that are happening all over the world, and it suggests to me that there's a spiritual element that is missing in all of this, that does not allow people to see really what they're doing and the impact they are having, the inordinate impact. Inordinate because they don't deserve this much power. They can't handle it. And yet their entire nations, everybody in the countries that they rule, are backing them. They refuse to see these people's flaws. They refuse to see what the logical outcome will be. I mean, it doesn't take some kind of rocket scientist to see where we will be shortly with Donald Trump, where we could be any minute now. He's unstable. He is insufficient. He has not yet grown up. He has a distorted view of himself. But he is enabling so many other people to make a ton of money in Congress. So I'm going to ask a question, and I hope you could give me an answer that puts us on the road, on track here, about politics. Is there any connection, or should there be any connection between, I would call them, for the sake of this discussion, a principled and spiritual, almost, reason for politics? How would politics be different if people operated with a different kind of attitude that saw politics not as an individual quest for unimaginable wealth and power, but to share for people, the people, to share in the very important aspects of running a society? We all are part of a society. What can we do, if you think we could do anything at all, but what can we do for ourselves and for a system of which we are a part to introduce the idea that there will be zero tolerance of these values that they have now, which is ego-driven and ego-centered? It is ruining people's lives. It is causing all kinds of calamities. And if we were to stop and think a little bit, we would ask the question, what is going on now in our lives as a world, as a globe, that we cannot make that connection between all the things that we're doing wrong and all the things that are now so wrong? Take this little break. Come back at 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. This came into my head, literally. I had a whole different program planned. But these fires and all these instances of mass turmoil and trouble that people are experiencing, when supposedly they have governmental systems that ought to know better, but are not behaving that way for one reason or the other. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese. How are you?
Good.
I'm
how
okay
are you?
To ask. Well, I guess in light of all of these things, I am hanging in here or hanging by my fingernails. because every day is another unbelievable thing. I have a friend who is an atheist who told me, I am an atheist, but I do want to tell you that I do know the Bible. And he said it sort of does look like the thing they describe in the book of Genesis. And I wanted, when we were talking about what happened in Las Vegas, you made a very good point the other day that I hadn't thought about. And I also heard a woman on your show talking about, or it was a man calling up about the conspiracy guy, and I've never heard that show before. But I actually turned on the conspiracy guy last night, and he actually kind of pulls apart conspiracies, you know, or tells you, you know, explaining what they're based on. But he was very interesting. And one of the things that, you know, you pointed out to the other day was that on the parking lot or wherever it was the concert was happening, we didn't see any blood. And we didn't see any triage, and we didn't see any bodies going by. And it's just really, I can't accept the story they're telling me. And it gets crazier and crazier every time I turn the TV on. And so I just wanted to put it out to your audience members that, you know, you can listen to all the shows on PR radio on your computer, and that maybe we should all listen to this guy, who the conspiracy guy, because his theories are not crazy. They don't sound crazy, and he brings up a lot of very relevant points that many of us aren't thinking about. The thing that really, really appalls me is that, you know, I think it was Hitler that said, the bigger the lie, the easier the people believe it. And, you know, there's stuff that I just didn't really notice. You know, I got so caught up in the story I was hearing that I didn't notice that in Connecticut, they didn't show, there were no bodies taken out of that school of children. There were no ambulances there. There was no blood anywhere. But, you know, all these children, you know, were supposed to be dead. Now, when I heard the man speaking on your show the other day about his listening to this show, I thought, oh, that show sounds crazy and the guy sounds crazy. But I listened to it and I thought it was very interesting. And I would just invite the people in this audience, if you know, if you're not satisfied with what you're getting, at least take a listen to this guy, because he is a very interesting man. You're also interesting. But
you know what? What I'm interested in is not whether you follow or you take an extra interest in person A or person B, but yeah. whether you take extra interest in the overall picture of what are we doing here? What is our arrangement as a citizen?
You know what, Yatrice?
In the system. What are we entitled to? How do we impact a system so it doesn't mm-hmm. become this corrupt? What happened here that systems all over the world have become so corrupt? And it is having an inordinate impact on their folks. And nobody in those governments would say, hey, time out. We really have to reexamine where we have been going wrong, because we have been going wrong and we need to fix it. And this is nobody else's job but ours. We have to fix this. But they go along because it's in their interest, their money interest, to go along with some of the most diabolical things.
Right.
And will we ever get to that point where we have the kind of clout to say to the government, stop, and let's reassess what you're doing? This is not the way it's supposed to happen. Because, I mean, you and I have no way of stopping Donald Trump. We have no way. Even when he is doing something tremendously wrong, we will have no way to stop him. And there are people who should be in a position to stop him, because that's the concept of our government, that the people elect leaders, and together we have some kind of access to the throttle and brake of government. We don't. So we are hostages of a government that we supposedly democratically elect. So who is going to do this work? How does it get done that we rein in an out-of-control government headed by out-of-control people? Thanks for getting us started today, Gwen. Patricia, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I would like to start by attempting to answer the question that you just posed. It is very difficult because all of the people at the helm, it's like an interlocking spider web. There is an understanding amongst every leader around the world that this is how we're going to operate. And the same way you have a fortress of people nationally who support that one elected leader at the top. I don't know if I'm explaining myself well, but this is worldwide. I give you an example. There is a movie that was released either a week or two ago. I forget the American something, and it details the TWA pilot who was who the CIA recruited to run drugs for them. In the COINTELPRO program at the CIA, and how he was killed. Well, that was major in terms of the influx of drugs into this country. But now somebody has turned serious information into entertainment in the form of a movie. So it's not that these things are not known. It's not that people don't know how governments work, what governments will do, the length to which they will go to infect themselves in the internal operations of another country. It's not that nobody knows, because clearly this movie was made, and this movie was made with information that was readily available. But you have everyone who has literally bought into this at all levels, and mm-hmm. to try and do something about it, you're asking for a death sentence. You know, you're going to get the same sentence that Martin and Medgar and Malcolm got. And how many of us are willing to ask for a death sentence?
It's a tough question.
It is a very tough question. I mean,
but in the meantime, let's say we can't answer that question now, or we may never be able to answer that question. Do you feel personally that there is something fundamentally out of kilter, almost bordering on a psychotic kind of behavior, a group psychotic behavior that we now call government?
Absolutely. And I'll give you a perfect example. Right here in New York, in Brooklyn, there is a fight going on. They want one politician wanted to name a certain part of Brooklyn Little Caribbean. And then the Haitian person, a Haitian representative in Brooklyn, says, well, what about Little Haiti? And so the other person said, well, when did Haiti stop being a part of the Caribbean? And believe it or not, there is an invective fight going on in Brooklyn around, is Haiti part of the Caribbean in terms of naming this part of Brooklyn Little Caribbean? We have, I'm at my wit's end. I try to remain as positive as I can. But it's becoming very, very hard because the people who we elect, who we believe are going to be the answer to our issues, end up embroiled in minutia and garbage.
So any idea that this may change, or it's even changeable? It could morph into something else that looks something like government.
I'm at my wit's end to try and see how this is correctable. In Africa, you've got American bases in Africa infecting themselves in Africa. They're all over the world, corrupting leaders all over the world. How do you dismantle that?
That's the big question. That's the big question. How do you dismantle something so massive? And that, you know, it literally hands out lots of rewards for being corrupt. In fact, some people would say, you're stupid if you don't take your portion of it. And it continues. So basic things that should be done for the benefit of all people, and I'm talking like looking at Puerto Rico. There's no reason that Puerto Rico's grid went to hell. There's no reason that it did not have a decent infrastructure. I can tell you that I believe a lot of the money just disappeared that should have gone into building a decent power grid and some of these things that are basic, invested the basics. But that money just disappeared. And they're standing now before the public saying, you know, how awful the mainland government is. But nobody's saying, well, where did all this money go that you got?
You know, Eutresa, I don't know if you remember Hamid Harzai after Iraq. When he left with billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars as he turned over Iraq to the United States. Who do you know that will turn from that? And that's what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. But this is what we have to think about, even if we are living in corrupt societies. I still think it is possible, in small ways perhaps, but to depart, at least gradually, or to show an interest in departing from that norm, and do things and act in the interest of the people. We got to have somebody who could stand up to the system, which we know is corrupt from top to bottom.
But the problem is, Eutresa, is when that one lone person stands up, he or she stands alone. Who do you know has that kind of courage and strength? Black people seldom support the one person who's out there fighting for them, because we can't identify who is a friend and who is a foe.
Very, very true. Thanks for calling in today.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. We have to start having these kinds of conversations, because in the end, this is also what leadership is. What standards do you uphold and tolerate? What standards are anathema that you will never support? Where do you come down? On whose side? On what side? Are you prepared to make these arguments? Are you prepared to live according to these precepts? And to struggle against what is. Donald Trump as president is no different from Donald Trump as, quote, businessman, unquote. You look at the record. He has a different title, but not a different temperament, not a different worldview. And the truth of it is, he doesn't want to. He doesn't have to. The system gives him all of the rights and privileges that he does not deserve. But this is an American value. Americans don't mind this. And it comes down to the idea of what then is politics about. People are talking about Hillary Clinton. How could anybody with a working brain cell in their heads see value in Hillary Clinton as a leader of this country? I mean, what new drug are you on? And why are we wasting time still thinking that her candidacy would change America? I mean, you see what I'm saying? It's just, you can't fathom this kind of thinking. You just can't. But we have to have these conversations, because even in our world, we have unprincipled people, outright thieves, reprehensible people at the top. And they won't go away unless we make them go away. We withdraw our support and we speak publicly about the injuries that they have inflicted on their so-called supporters. We are not supporters. We are their victims. And we have to speak out about it, because it is rife through all of politics. So that brings us to the end of the program today. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Infectious Myth with David Crow. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories at gmail.com. Let me know what you're thinking about the program, and we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.